In our last research and teaching session, I closed with the statement, and I'm sure most of you have this in writing, that the organic unity of the human race demonstrates and illustrates clearly and dynamically our oneness with Christ, our identification. I'm going to, in this session, endeavor to set forth systematically, to the best of my ability, the basic truths regarding both the first Adam and the second Adam. I believe with all my heart, kids, that this section of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, is the most dynamic, in-depth, foundational truth regarding our redemption. And yet that is expanded and highlighted further in Romans 6:1 to 8:39, and then it's completely completed in the revelation of the book of Ephesians. I am so absolutely convinced about the integrity and accuracy of the word and its fantastic greatness in this section in Romans here that no matter how much time I have to take with the core, I'm going to take week after week until I'm finally satisfied that I have done to the best of my ability the sharing of the greatness of it in the greatest simplicity I know how. I believe that this record here in Romans 5, 12 through 8, 39, and then in Ephesians is the all truth that Jesus Christ said the Spirit would guide and lead believers into after his ascension. Because the prince of the world is judged. It is a reality now. In John 16, you may flip to it, John 16, in verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Can't grasp them. It wasn't time to lay it on them. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's what I believe this record here in Romans and Ephesians settles. The all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he should take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. The ascension. Again a little while, and ye shall see me. That's the return. Because I go to my Father. Now I use the word organic, unity of the human race. I want to define that word organic. I felt that perhaps you didn't take the opportunity to look it up in the dictionary, and maybe you do have a fine comprehensive knowledge of it, but the definition that I have in my mind is the one I wrote out for you tonight, because this is what I'm thinking when I'm talking about the organic unity of the human race. The word organic means belonging to an organized whole. Belonging to an organized whole, like the whole of mankind. All, without exception, mankind. That's the meaning of the word organic. And I said we were going to cover the first Adam and then the second Adam, which are both in this section in Romans. The word Adam means man, a human being. That's what the word Adam means, man, belonging to the category of what, Homo sapien? And that word Adam includes not only male but female as an all-inclusive noun. Yet it also applies to an individual in the word. But then, class, you have to go to the context to find out what it is. In other words, the context will declare which. The organic unity of the physical human race is perhaps best summarized and declared in Acts 17:26. I just want to read the whole thing to you. and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. That, I think, is the best summary of the word Adam, man. Hath made of one blood. You will know how we've handled this previously in the foundational class. Man. When it's just a male, the word will be ish, ish. See, Adam is a Hebrew. It's just Adam, spelled the same way, A-D-A-M. The other Hebrew word that I want to give you is the word ish, ish. And that means male, while the feminine is isha, ishah. That's the female. And our men have always said, ha-ha, that's the woman. Got the laugh on him. A-H at the end of man. And, of course, that's why you know it's woe man. So this is the word for male and female. It is interesting that in Genesis, in that opening section of the first chapters, you know, when God says he's going to make a helpmate for Adam, you see, he uses the word isha, a female, because Adam represents, as I told you, every human being. It's an all-inclusive noun. In Genesis, we might look this up, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man. That word man there is, again, Adam. It's the word Adam in the text. This is, I think, its first usage of the word man. But it's mankind it represents. And I believe that perhaps the usage of this at this time here as man is real interesting because it represents mankind. In 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast foul of the air and brought them unto Adam, Adam. Here is the first usage of the word Adam, although the word man back there is the word Adam, but they didn't translate it that way. Sometime you might find it real interesting to check all of these in your Bible and be sure you have them properly noted, because it's a very interesting little bit of work you can do. The man, Adam, is not only representing as that inclusive noun, but it also represents Adam as head man. And that's why in 2:19, I believe that they decided in the translation to put the word Adam in here, because that's the first time that he becomes the head man, so to speak, because now he's got animals to take care of and a few other items. This is the first Adam we're talking about. And all physically born children throughout all the ages, made of one blood, are of this organic unity of the human race. And that preposition of is very important in my statement. All of those physically born are of this organic unity of the human race, making us, all mankind, one with the first Adam, completely identified with him, for we are all of Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, or the second Adam, a quickening, a living spirit. That's why the second Adam, in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy or dust is the text. The second Adam, second man, of heaven. Is the Lord needs to be scratched. The preposition should be the second man, the second Adam of heaven. The second Adam, and when I worked this and share it with you. It's the organic unity of the eternal life believers race. And it's perhaps best summarized in Acts 2:4, where it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. First time in the history of the world that anyone was born again. And the organic unity of the spiritual believers, the eternal life believers race, I think is summarized in that great statement in Acts 2:4, where they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. 1 Corinthians 12:13 is also another verse I want to share with you along this line. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit are we all baptized. This is the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The word unto is pros, P-R-O-S, with the Father, together with yet distinctly independent of. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 4, one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And the final great scripture, when I think of the organic unity of the eternal life believers race, is of course the one from Colossians 1:27 that all of you know very well. Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. That's the second Adam. All born again spiritually are of this organic unity of the believers race, making all born again mankind one with the second Adam, completely identified with God in him, for we are all of him. The first Adam was head of the human race. The second Adam, head of the eternal life believers race. Romans 5:12, I want to work this translation with you and add the words in a parenthesis by way of explanation, so there'll be no question about the simplicity and accuracy of this great verse. As by one man, parenthesis, Adam, end of parenthesis, sin entered into the world, and death by, parenthesis, because of or through this man Adam, end of parenthesis, sin, and so death, parenthesis, physical death, but more than physical, spiritual, end of parenthesis, passed upon, parenthesis, unto, along to, end of parenthesis, all men, for, parentheses, actually resting upon, end of parentheses, that all, parentheses, without exception, end of parentheses, sinned, parentheses, in Adam, head of the human race, end of parentheses. Now let me read it to you. You've got your parentheses, but let me read it to you and show you how tremendous this thing makes sense. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death because of or through this man, Adam, sin, and so death, physical, but more than physical, spiritual, passed up unto or along to all men, for actually resting upon that all without exception sinned. In Adam, head of the human race. That is the best I know to do with Romans 5:12. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. See, what sin did Adam, the one man sin, that brought sin into the world and subsequently death? Genesis chapter 3. We worked this in the foundational class, but I do not believe you ever get too great an understanding of it or work it too frequently. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, wise, prudent than any beast, any living being of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And there you know she omitted the word freely from the previous record. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So there she added something to it. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. There's the key line. God had said in Genesis 2 that the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The archenemy, the devil, the adversary, the serpent, said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, verse 5, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The sin that Adam committed is the sin of idolatry. God had said, The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die. And the whole key here is worship. The sin that the one man, Adam, brought, that brought death, is that they worship self as God. Your eyes shall be open and you shall be as what? Gods. You know, you're a God, you're a God, you're a God, everybody's God. And a God is to be worshipped. And turning from the true God to self, and then later on, images of man, then they worship the images, because they just first worship a man, then they, as it degrades kids, it just goes down the ladder. Then they get the image of a man, and they worship that image, or they worship animals, like the ox, some animal they worship, cows. And then as it keeps going downgrade, they worship the sex organs, the phallic symbols, and they worship these as God. And that's the sin that began with Adam and brought death. In Exodus chapter 20, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, that's Jehovah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here you got your Ten Commandments. It was Jehovah, the Elohim, that brought them out of bondage. And then the great third verse, Thou shalt have no other gods alongside of my face, before my face. No other gods. Not only started out with the original sin there of Adam, but it kept working down the line. When the Ten Commandments were given, the first thing Jehovah Elohim said, He did not want any other gods. No idolatry. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, you know, of animals or man, sex organs, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, the earth beneath, the waters. And thou shalt not bow down thyself, which is worship, to them, nor what? Serve them. For I am Jehovah thy Elohim, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And the word hate is in here because when you have any other God than the one true God, it's just like hating the true God. You're not worshiping the true God. In Exodus 34, in verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Thou shalt worship no other God." And when you trace this all the way through, you get to Revelation chapter 19, and in verse 20, it says, "And the beast," tying this back with the record in Genesis a while ago, chapter 3, "and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his," what? "These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." The key is worship. One more scripture you certainly will have to put in here, John 4:24. God is what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, or truthfully via the Spirit. Adam's disobedience to the command of God, to the what I would call the word of God, which is the will of God, wrecked and ruined not just one little phase of man, but everything about man, the whole bloodstream, so that even to this day, all men die physically and are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. I want to deal with the legacy of this first Adam. In the first Adam, one man, sin entered and death, putting all mankind under the law of sin and death. The first Adam was a man of body, soul, and spirit. And in the foundational class, I showed you how he lost the spirit due to disobedience to the command of God, which is the will of God. The first Adam sinned, and consequently, all children of Adam are born in sin, and they will worship self. That's the key. It's always self-worship. Now, the first Adam also was formed, made, and created, like I showed you from the Word of God in the foundational class. The spirit in Adam was the created image of God in him, which only God can produce or reproduce. Adam, in sinning this away, could only produce or reproduce in his own likeness, which is physical. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. "And Adam lived 100 days, begat a son in his own," what? Likeness, "after his image." See? That's where that Acts 17:26 comes in again. "Of one blood, all the nations." The first Adam is called the old man because he is the original head of the human race. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 14, "The law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin." That's the first Adam. Sold under sin. There's an interesting reference in chapter 8, verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity." That's in the first Adam. Subject to vanity. "Not willing by reason of him with subject, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth." That's the word I was looking for, groaning. subject to vanity, sold under sin, old man, this of one blood, this is all after the likeness of Adam, Adam's progeny, produced and reproduced. This is why all men, without exception, are of and in the first Adam. All mankind in sin and death. All Adam's seed in Adam's sin. Romans 5, 12 to 21 basically deals with sin, not sins. Because Romans 5, 12 to 21 deals with the root of sins. Sins are the manifestation. They're like a fruit. Well, what is the root of that fruit that's being manifested, that works that's being declared? What is it? The root. The root of it is sin. And the sin is that sin of self-worship, worshiping something or someone else than the true God. You know, could be stocks and bonds, your clothing, you know, the ability you have to tell lies, you see. It's just there, kids. Romans 5, 12 to 21 deals with what mankind is. And each man is not what mankind has done or each man has done. Verse 12 of Romans 5, as by one man, Adam, sin, remember, entered into the world. And that word world is the word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, and death by sin. By means of sin, death passed through or down to all, for all missed the mark. Sin is the cause of universal death. By, I gave you that dia. Sin is harmartia, and so death, thanatos, more than physical, passed unto, ace, unto all, men, anthropos, four Greek words, epho, dative case, actually resting upon, all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. That's the Greek word elogio, or elogeko, I guess. E-L-L-O-G-E-O, long O, meaning laid to one's charge. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, and that nevertheless is Allah. A-L-L-A is the Greek word. Yet death reigned. Apo, from Adam, until. And the word there is speaking of Moses as the giving of the law. Reigned from Adam until the law, Moses. Even is the word kai. Over is the Greek word epi, E-P-I, meaning pressure downward, upon, and upon. Pressure downward and upon them that had not sinned. Those are the Gentiles who have not the law. After is according to epi. Sedative case meaning actual superposition, who have not actually sinned according to the similitude, likeness of Adam's transgression. The word transgression is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word para, P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S, a para basis, alongside basis. You see, Israel, like Adam, transgressed the will of God. Because Adam transgressed the word of God, when God originally gave it to him, the record in Genesis 2, 16, 17. So Israel, even though they were given the laws of God by way of Moses, they also transgressed the law. Adam, who is a figure, a type, a figure, the word is tupos, T-U-P-O-S, tupos. And that really means a figure is a mark that is made by a blow. Like you would take a piece of leather and you would put a seal in that leather, or you'd take a die and cast it into some wood. That's the type, the figure, the mark, the blow. The figure of him, Jesus Christ, that was to come, namely the coming one. Now death reigned, it says. What verse was that? 14, isn't it? Yeah. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. This death reigning, even to those that didn't sin after the likeness of Adam's sin, you know, yet death reigns. That's real simple to understand if you just think of a little child dying in infancy. That child was never able to, you know, go against the word of God because it hadn't yet heard it. That's why that's in there. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. And in Romans 6, there's an interesting part in that verse. For when ye were the servants of sin. See, not only did death reign under the first Adam, but they were servants. And the word servants is doulos, slaves. Slaves of sin. And of course, the deliverance came with Christ Jesus. The first Adam, we are dead because of sin. So this applies to all of us. And with that, we will close this part of the core teaching, because we now have to spend another evening or more into the second Adam, because we will have to cover the greatness of the redemption in Christ Jesus, and the unveiling of what we are in Christ Jesus should just thrill your heart, seeing what kind of a mess man is in under the first Adam. So you ought to be real blessed as you get into the records in the Word of God to see how much more you and I have today because of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ.